Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Monday morning, January the 19th, 2026. 1:19:26, 12 minutes past the hour, and it is a cold Monday morning. It is also a snowy Monday morning here in the Marion area. You know, when I came in this morning, the grounds were snow-covered, and maybe I just was not paying much attention to the weather report over the weekend, but I didn't know we were supposed to get any snow last night. It doesn't look like there's any kind of huge accumulations out there, but definitely some snow on the ground here this morning on this Monday morning. And I just looked out the window a few seconds ago, and the snow was kind of blowing around out there. I wasn't sure if the wind had blown and whipped up the snow, or if it was just snowing again. And from the looks of it, as I turn my head, it does look like it's snowing again. It's a beautiful kind of a Norman Rockwell painting out there this morning, but definitely a little treacherous on the side roads. The main roads are pretty good, but the side roads are a little problematic this morning. So if you're out and you're traveling this morning, be very, very careful and very, very safe. We want everybody to get home okay. Well, it's also a holiday. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in the area. All right. Go ahead, caller.
We have whiteout conditions over here. And, well, there's a polar bear going down the street.
Is it the Coca-Cola polar bear? Is it the Coca-Cola polar bear?
I can't tell. It's a big white bear. And, oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
I bet it is unbelievable on this Monday morning.
And, oh, some reindeer are falling from the sky.
Wow, they're about a month late on that one.
Oh, my God, it's the end of the world, Scott. What are we going to do?
Well, you know,
global warming.
Well, I know it was about 60 degrees on Christmas, so today they might think it's Christmas Day today instead of Martin Luther King Day.
I think the months have shifted. What used to be December is now January, possibly half January, half February. So we need to reshift, you know, kind of like they try to fool us with changing of time with daylight savings time. There's always been the same amount of daylight, you know?
That's true. That's true. We seem to be about a month off somewhere, and maybe Christmases will not be cold and snowy anymore. Maybe it will be Martin Luther King Day and President's Day that are cold and snowy.
We should probably consider leap decade, you know, the reason why we have a leap year.
You know, there are certain decades people would like to forget. I'm sure I've got one in there somewhere.
Well, I don't know, but it's cold outside.
It is cold. Well, I tell you what, stay tuned this morning because there's a lot of interesting topics I'm sure you're going to want to weigh in on.
Well, I have nothing to do. I'm unfortunate. I have nothing to do for the next few hours, so I'm listening.
We're glad to have you out there. Thank you.
Love your city.
There you go. All right. Yeah, hopefully we'll have some topics this morning. You know, you always say hopefully because you don't really know. You can present the topics. Hopefully they're of interest to people. You never really know. And also on days that are holidays, a lot of times you'll have banks that are closed, federal offices that are closed, schools that are closed, really anything with child care is closed. So you have a lot of people, doctor's offices, a lot of them are closed. So a lot of people who normally listen may not be listening as intently as a normal day on a holiday, as we have seen during the Christmas and New Year's holidays. But we're still here. And who knows, maybe because of the weather, and I don't know if people really travel on Martin Luther King Jr. day, so it could be that we will have a good audience out there this morning. Now, I did want to talk about a little bit about Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I think not mentioning that this day is here is wrong to do. You know, for years at this station, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we would play an excerpt of his I Have a Dream speech. And we would play it every hour of the day. And it was about 3 minutes long. We would play about 3 minutes of it. Now, of course, it extended everything because we would do it during the top of the hour. So, you know, we would knock about 3 minutes off every show that day. But I always felt that it was very important to hear this man who was a great orator, who went on to have a federal holiday named for him, for people to hear him speak and hear what he had to say. Because you learn about him in school, but he really did live in a lot of people's lifetimes. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. is not ancient history. So I think there's that aspect to this day and this holiday. Also, his speech, his I Have a Dream speech, is a very profound speech to the degree he's basically saying, I want to see a day when such and such and such and such will happen. And I think it's always good to reflect as time goes on, have we gotten to where Martin Luther King Jr. would have wanted us to get to? Because this speech has been taught and played in schools and colleges and just in general life. I'm sure you will see it at some point on the television today if you watch any news broadcast. It's probably one of the most played or transcribed or listened to at this point speeches in the history of probably the world. So I think it's good to look back on this. I think it's good to think about what this day means. So I guess the general question we'll start the morning off with before we get into any of the heavier stories this morning. Do you think we have achieved the dream that Martin Luther King set forth in his I Have a Dream speech? Do you think in January of 2026 that the things that he wanted to happen, obviously racial equality, but more so everybody coming together, and being able to cooperate, do you think we're there? Do you think that prejudice is no longer a factor? Do you think it's completely gone? Do you think it's gotten better? You know, I guess we're a long way from the 1960s, but I don't know. It's a big question, and I think it's obviously just a straight opinion question, because two people could feel completely different about the same question. So the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think we have achieved what Martin Luther King Jr. would have wanted us to achieve? I do not know what I just heard. Oh, you know, I think it's the snowplow in the back parking lot here, plowing out the parking lot. You know, that's one thing I can say about this, the building that we're at. They keep the parking lots clear here, and that's pretty good. All right, we're getting a message already from the internet this morning. Let's see what the message says. When I was in school, we were doing a civil rights project, and instead of doing the project, I convinced my teacher to let me memorize and recite the I Have a Dream portion of the I Have a Dream speech, speaking of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And that's for Matt, who's out there listening this morning. I don't know if Matt's listening at work or where he's listening. So I don't know if Matt still remembers the I Have a Dream speech, but if he gets a free moment at work wherever he is, he can call in and recite some of that or the whole thing if he still remembers it, if he'd like to. But yeah, I think that's what the I Have a Dream speech really has become. It's things now that people recite. It's part of America. So, do you think we have achieved what Martin Luther King would have wanted us to achieve in his I Have a Dream speech? Feel free to give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as I said, there could be a lot of different takes on this. I think it comes right down to just what do you see in your everyday life? You know, and I probably feel this is geographical. There are probably certain places in the country that would feel differently than maybe somebody in Ohio. Somebody in the South might feel a little differently. Somebody in the West might feel a little different. I don't know. Do you think we have achieved what Martin Luther King Jr. would have liked to have achieved? 23 and a half minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as we go along here this morning, Friday, former 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber was on the program, and we talked about a whole lot of things going on with the city, and he said he would be back here on Monday morning, but because it is a 3-day holiday weekend, he took a little trip, nothing wrong with that, a little vacation for the weekend. So the next best thing is to join us via telephone, and during the course of this conversation, he said he would announce here if he is going to run for county commissioner this year in the seat being vacated by Dr. Mark Davis. So this morning, this very cold, chilly morning, we turn to former 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. How's the reception out there in the woods?
Well, I hear you very well. Do you hear me okay?
I do.
That's the biggest clear.
That's what I'm shocked by. I thought we'd have a reception issue, but you sound good.
Well, we'll go with what we have right now.
Now, there are a couple things I want to talk about here, but I want to get to the big portion of this conversation. Friday, we talked about you possibly running for county commissioner. And before we get to the announcement of if you will or if you will not, when did this become a thought, and why has it even become a thought?
So, when my term of council ended, I had no thought of running for another office, and I was content with going on with my life. And so for, I don't know if you know this or not, but for 20 years I owned a landscape and lawn service, and I had every intention on starting that back up. I sold it back in, I sold my lawn service business back in 2019-ish, and I took care of my mom, and so I needed something to do, so I was going to start my lawn service back up, and then some news happened where the county's claiming that they were flying under the radar, and they got financial issues, and then the political bug just started chewing away at me, and the more news revealed the problems that's going on at the county level, I thought, well, maybe I can be like LeBron James and take my talents across the street to the county.
And just to be clear, not to go through the whole big landscape of what's going on in the city and the county, how do you see Marion in general? Because obviously the city is in the county. Both are presenting financial problems. Right now, what do you see the state of Marion in general, including city and county?
Unfortunately, the state of Marion City and Marion County is not good, because we've gone an entire year without any economic development whatsoever, and there's no plan in it being put forward for the future for any economic development. And the sad fact is that both city and county need to increase revenues, and I don't know how you increase any revenue without economic development. That's the driving. That's the engine that drives the economy.
You know, a lot of people have asked me this, so I also want to make this clear before we get to the announcement. Are you still a Republican? And if so, what makes you a Republican?
Yes, I am a Republican. And just because I don't always agree, or I have, let me say it this way. Just because I have a independent thought other than the groupthink of some others that call themselves Republicans, and they may think they are, but I'm allowed to have my own independent thoughts. And the core principles of being a Republican are what I believe. Less government, reduce spending. And a lot of the Republicans in office now, locally, statewide, and on the federal level, they haven't seen a spending bill that they won't support. And I believe that I've demonstrated my time on council as a fiscal conservative, and that should define or describe me as a Republican.
So we'll do the announcement now, and then based on that, maybe we'll have a few other questions here. So this year, Dr. Mark Davis will not be running for re-election as Marion County Commissioner. Will you be running?
After this weekend, I spoke with my family, and they are all on board with me running for commissioner.
So you are running. Right.
Yep, so I have the next 2 weeks to collect 50 valid signatures to be on the ballot. So I will be busy the next couple weeks.
You know, Jason, I talked to a few people here, and I truly did not know the answer until right now, after this came up on Friday, and they almost thought that it was a no-brainer that he's going to run. Why do you think it was such a no-brainer for a lot of people, in their opinion?
I don't know. And maybe that's them wanting me to run. And because after Friday's, after your show Friday, I received several text messages and phone calls, people asking me, they wanted to know right then and there if I was going to run or not, and giving me words of encouragement. But I will just take that as a people supporting me.
Now, aside from your family, which you talked about, and aside from the issues here in the city, are there any conversations or things that have happened that have encouraged you to run?
Yeah, like I said, the phone calls and comments that I received that kind of solidified my desire to go at it, give it one more chance and see what happens.
Now, as far as you understand it, and I guess we'll find out when the deadline hits, how do you think this race is going to shape up? Because obviously people have expressed their interest in running. Those names have been floated around in some places, social media world. What's your understanding of what this race will be?
So I can, as far as who may run, I've attended two commissioner meetings, Thursday and the week prior to that, and Kenny Stiverson was in attendance in both meetings, so I'm going to assume that he is definitely going to be running, and Kenny's name, his name recognition will be tough. He, in fact, was the commissioner prior to Mark Davis unseating him, in a primary 4 years ago. So it'll be a tough race, especially if since Kenny will be in the race.
What?
The other names of folks, I don't know. It's all going to come down to who turns in a petition on February the 4th and who gets certified.
Well, and I guess this is the question I have asked people running in the 86th district, because they, you know, there are three people running in that Republican primary. What separates you from the other Republicans who might be running in that race? What's the difference?
Your question, you asked me what makes me a Republican, and that's what separates me. Because I am a fiscal conservative, and I don't buy into the groupthink and doing whatever protects the brand or whatever protects another Republican elected official. I do what I feel is right for the people that elected me and the people that I serve, which would, as a commissioner, would be all of Marion County.
What would you do if you were to obtain this seat this coming fall? What could you bring to the county that they do not have now?
Asking a question. And you've had two commissioners on your show, and both of them have said that they, or have claimed that they're not financial experts, but they don't need to be. They just need to be able to ask a question. And both of them, both of the gentlemen said that additional appropriations kind of got them in trouble through the years. Why didn't they ask the simple question, how can we afford this? It may be a good idea at the time, but you have to know if you can afford whatever the issue is for the additional appropriation. I've always asked questions, and in fact, it sometimes it puts me in a negative light because I do ask questions, and it makes people uncomfortable, especially when you're dealing with groupthink. If you're outside of that group, they don't like that, but I will always ask a question no matter what. Because on council, I always ask the questions that serve the people that put me in office.
If you were to obtain this seat, you would be working with Kevin Davidson and Andy Apfelfeller. What's your opinion or feeling about those two gentlemen at this point?
I've known Andy for a long time. I think he's a great guy. And Kevin, I don't know him very much, but the interactions that we've had, I think he's a wonderful guy as well. So I don't think I would have any problems working with them, and they shouldn't have any problems working with me, other than I will ask a lot of questions.
I assume you would not get in this race if you did not think you could win. In the past, as a city councilman, you've run for county commissioner and have not obtained that seat. What is going to be different this time? Just along the campaign route?
This campaign will be more aggressive. I will hold fundraisers. I've learned through the past tries that I solely self-funded, and I didn't have the fundraisers. And from what I've learned, people like to have that part of the campaign. They like to have a part of the candidate. So I'm going to have fundraisers. I will aggressively door knock like I've always have. So it's just going to be a more aggressive campaign than I've ran in the past.
Do you think you can win?
Yes, yeah. I do. Absolutely.
Now, speaking of fundraising, here comes a hot button question from this past weekend. Yeah, here it is. But I'm actually going somewhere with your race with this as well. We learned that 86th district Republican candidate Weslyn Davis has raised or has an income at this point of nearly $250,000 in her Republican primary race. Now that may blend over into the general. I don't think any Democrat has declared for that particular race yet. Maybe they will. But what does it say to you that a Republican candidate in a primary for Union and Marion County now feels they have to or does raise $250,000?
So I don't know anything about how she got that, but that would be my question. where did that $250,000 come from? Did she give it to herself, to her campaign? Is it a loan? Is she planning on fundraising and paying herself back for whatever she spends? But campaigns are not cheap, but has Weslin answered any of those questions?
You know, she's certainly not talking to me at this point.
Okay, well. Yeah.
Well, although we did reach out to her.
It's a fair question to ask how a campaign achieved what funds they have on hand. I don't know why that would be a hot-button topic.
Well, you know.
I mean, anyone can ask me how I got my I have $83 in my council campaign, so anyone can ask me how I got that. I don't care.
Well, I guess the question is when you have a large sum of money like that, there is the implication that you're trying to buy the race. That's,
yeah,
you know,
and I've been accused of that. The race against Mr. Davidson in that primary, I was spending quite a bit of money. It was my own money. I gave it to myself, and you can see that through my campaign forms. And I did receive some donations. And a few people have said that, what are you trying to do, buy the election? And, well, campaigns, you have to spend money. You have to get your name out there. And it's just what it is. People will make those comments, but you have to have thick skin. And if you're asked, how did you get the money, and you don't explain it, that's totally different than someone making an offhand snarky comment.
Probably right. Now, and the last question about this, and this, then I want to come back to your race in regard to fundraising. But you know these people, most of them in the 86th district, or you have kept up on this. You certainly are aware of Weslin Davis and the things she has done in the Republican Party. She ran in the primary against Tracy Richardson back in 2024. Certainly no love lost there, I don't think, between the two of them to this day. What do you make of her and being able to come up with this kind of money, and what is the goal there, just in your opinion?
So it could be a strategy or a tactic for whoever candidates, her opponents, look at her cash on hand, and if they have zero or not much, and they see that she has $250,000, that may give them pause to think, well, how will I beat her when she's already sitting on $250,000 and I'm sitting on $83? So it could be a tactic, and she may not use all that. It just depends on how it's structured as a loan or what. So it's unknown what she's really planning to do with it, but in my opinion, it's probably just a tactic to show that she's got a war chest and she's ready to go to war and look out.
And there we go. So in back to your race, as far as fundraising goes, you said you will hold fundraisers and you will be more engaged in that way. What neighborhood do you think you have to be in to compete for a Marion County Commissioner seat, money-wise, in 2026?
Looking at past, now, not my races, but past races, I've seen some commissioner races raise between $20,000 to $50,000. And I believe if I can campaign or have fundraisers and raise around $15,000 to $25,000, then I could saturate media and get billboards and really have my name out there, and that should be a very clean, clear path to victory for me.
Now, maybe this is the more direct question in what separates you from other Republican candidates, and I don't know who the Republican candidates will be in this race, and I don't know what their feelings are on these issues, but when I've talked to the people in the 86th district, it seems like they are all for President Trump. They are all for Vivek Ramaswamy, which will be the race that will be going on, certainly probably the race that will get the most attention this coming fall when you guys are running for office. And they do not like Mike DeWine. Where do you stand on those issues as a Republican?
So I'm not a fan of Mike DeWine either. Some of the things he had the state of Ohio during COVID was just nonsense in my view. I think that was your question. How do I fit in with DeWine and Vivek? I initially was a fan of Vivek as when he was running in the presidential primary, because he was. I didn't think that Trump would have as good of a go as he did his second time or his third time running as president. And then my support or my favor towards Vivek is a little bit waning now as a governor candidate, and that is a developing support towards him. It could wane a little bit, or it could just, that's the best we got, so let's just go with him.
What caused the waning?
He's just a very rich guy and speaks very well, and then sometimes when he's, and these are just personality traits, it's probably not how you should judge a political candidate, but sometimes when you're speaking, listening to him speak, I feel anyway that he's kind of speaking down to you, and I don't like that in a person.
Is there any world, because we know where this campaign is shaping up, I do believe there's a challenger now in the Republican primary.
There is?
I think, well, that tells you how much attention they've gotten for governor. So, you know, we know where that is with the primary coming up in May. Amy Acton does not have a challenger in her race that I'm aware of. Heather Hill, I saw in a post last night, considers herself an independent now, out collecting signatures. Is there any world where you could vote for Heather Hill or Amy Acton?
Heather Hill, was she at one time thinking of running as a Republican?
She was in the primary, and then she felt that I think her words were it was rigged against her.
I don't know what she's saying is rigged against her, but it's unusual for a party to endorse during a primary, and I don't know how the party's got to doing that, but it's getting more and more, and I think the party's, my opinion, the party should stay out of it, so maybe she did feel rigged because of that.
And
I do believe that they endorsed Vivek, the state Republicans endorsed Vivek a long time ago, didn't they?
Very early.
Yes.
So could you ever vote for her or Amy Acton with your support for Vivek at this particular time?
I can tell you right now that I will never vote for Amy Acton, whether she's responsible for the stay-at-home lockdown orders or if it's ultimately DeWine. She was standing right beside him every day at noon on the COVID press meetings, and I maybe political winds are shifting and people will forget about that, but there's no way that I could vote for Amy Acton.
So this is a big separation because most people would feel and have said, you know, hey, I'm on the Republican ticket here. I want to be on the Republican ticket. I'm all in on Vivek. Oh, Trump was the other question. All in on Trump?
Yeah, I think Trump's doing it. So, all in, I've never been all in on anyone. There's always something that, and I think this is the case with most people, that there's always something that they don't quite agree with. And the one thing that I strongly disagree with Trump, is sending troops into cities. And and having a military presence. I don't like that whatsoever. I understand the mission, but I don't like the fact that we're putting our military in our cities as a police function. And I really don't like how our police departments are being becoming more militarized, using military-grade weapons and stuff and equipment. That bothers me to no end.
Do you think, being in politics for a long time, because of things of that nature, maybe a little bit of waning support for Vivek Ramaswamy, it doesn't look like he's ahead in the polls, John Husted, a lot of people do not feel is a strong candidate against Sherrod Brown in the Senate race. These are going to be the statewide races this coming fall, which will impact the county races, city races that are going on. Do you think this could change things for the Republican Party, who has seemingly had a lock on Ohio for the past 8 to 10 years?
Yeah, political winds always change, and no party is always in absolute power all the time, because they fall apart from within, and eventually it shifts to the other party. So maybe there will be a little bit of a shift.
And do you think that could help you as somebody who is not always in lockstep with the Republican Party?
In a primary standing, in a primary race, I have to speak to hard establishment Republicans and try to gain their support. In a general election, I think I will fare very well, because I do believe that I'm approachable by other parties or other political views, just because simple fact that I will listen to anybody. I don't have to agree with you to have a conversation with you. And maybe you can convince me to your side, and I'm always open to that.
And I guess one of the final questions I want to ask you this morning, because I know you're on a three-day weekend here, is when we talked to Dr. Mark Davis a few weeks ago, and he said he would most likely not be running for re-election, we asked him if he would have a conversation with you and amongst other people that he was having conversations with. He brought up some names at that time of people who he felt might be interested in his seat. Have you had a conversation with him? And do you think you could get his endorsement?
Yes, I have had a conversation with Dr. Davis, and in fact, we had breakfast together, and we talked specifically about what you just said. He plans on endorsing somebody or giving a nod towards a candidate. And after breakfast, me and Mr. Davis parted ways, and he said that he will give me consideration. So,
well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's not a no, but that's not a yes. And I would, as much as I would really like to have the endorsement of the outgoing commissioner, I still see a path to victory without it.
I would really like
to have it.
What do you think happened, and without to get into the intricacies of that breakfast, what do you think happened that left him on the fence on this, where I think most people probably would have considered that he would endorse more of the, as you said, maybe establishment Republicans who might turn up in this race?
Mark Davis has been a commissioner that will go and talk to anyone. He's similar to me in that aspect. He'll talk to anyone. Now, he didn't make any commitments. He just said he would put it under consideration. So he did what he should do, is listen to my side, and my sales pitch is why, as to why he should endorse me or why I'm asking for his endorsement. And that's what a good politician, but that's what someone in his position should do, is just listen to everybody, and then if he wants to make an endorsement, then he's given everyone a fair chance to state their case.
So at this point, what is the major reason people should vote for you or sign your petition in a primary or a general election?
I have over a decade and a half of experience, of governmental experience, and my time up until the last 2 years, I've been on the Finance Committee. I know the ins and outs of government finance, and I've, through the decade and a half, I've learned how to ask the question, why? How does this benefit my constituents? How does this benefit the county or the city? And what's it going to cost? I've asked questions, and right now we're not getting that. And it's been in the paper and on your show that the county's financial issues has flown under the radar. And the only way it can do that is because people's not asking questions and being truly transparent about what's going on.
And you
bring that to the table.
You believe you can help that financial situation?
Absolutely.
Yep. And just one final question here before we wrap it up is, because of what we talked about Friday with the city, and it's just a straight question, and you can explain as much or as little as you like, but obviously the auditor is still receiving a lot of heat here in the city for the payroll issues. The newspaper articles continue to run about people being overpaid and checks not being right. For people who believe, even this past weekend, somebody came up to me and said something about the auditor's job and how they were doing it, and I'm not even going to repeat what they said, but it certainly was not anywhere near the truth. It was more of an accusation, but just from what she hears from media, the truth of this matter, of what is going on in the city and in the auditor's office in regard to people's payroll being screwed up. I even saw the Tom Bosco video this morning. Somebody sent it to me. What's the truth of that matter? Who is to blame here?
So there's a lot of blame to go around, and I never have, and I don't like wasting time on trying to point a finger. Everyone knows that there's an issue. So why isn't everyone working to fix that issue? We'll save the blame for later. Let's get our employees paid. Let's get that office figured out. And then we'll address the mistakes or the problems or who's to blame. Because there's a lot of blame to go around. And the really disgusting part is it's on a personal level. It's not respecting the office of the auditor. And they're just attacking a person. And if I was in Miranda's shoes and receiving these attacks, I don't even know if I could get out of bed, honestly, and go to work, because why would I want to go to work, try to complete tasks that I know how to do, and they're telling me that I'm not in the office enough, and on the other hand, elected officials sent affidavits down to the state to have me removed. So you either want me in the office or you don't want me in the office. Pick one.
Well, and I think that, and I respect what you're saying about blame, but I think you just laid out why blame is important right now, because certainly the auditor is taking the brunt of this, and people want to know,
sure,
is it all her fault?
And again, we need to fix the problem so that things could proceed smoothly in the future, and then we can assign blame later. If we have people volunteering to come in and get ADP straightened out for free, as I understand, from Marion Tech, why aren't they in there? Why haven't they been in there? From the moment they said we can help, why didn't you put them in there?
Well,
other than someone has a personal grievance against one individual, and to me, again, like I said Friday, there's something bigger brewing that they're using Miranda as the distraction. Say, look over here, not over here, what's going on?
Well, and to tie a knot in that, and just to see if it's still what you believe, when you were on Friday, I believe what you said was that at this point, it's 50% the auditor's problem and 50% the mayor's problem. Do you still stick by that?
I and I think afterwards, we had a discussion. I believe you can give an equal portion of blame to council, because I was on council in February when council voted to bring in ADP, if we're speaking specifically to ADP.
So this is
the issue.
So at this,
the mayor, auditor, council, it's equally divided, a third of responsibility.
So not all on the auditor's head.
Absolutely not. I mean, you have to understand cause and effect.
And
council voted for it, and here we are today. It's not implemented correctly. You can waste a lot of time saying that the auditor didn't do it, but then you also have to. It didn't implement it correctly. Then you also have to take in effect that Bill Collins poached Chelsea from the auditor's office, and she was the individual, along with another one, that received the initial training in ADP.
And Chelsea being the budget director, for people who aren't aware.
The
budget director. So basically, what adjective, because I don't want to misstate it, the adjective you use to describe how city council and the administration have treated the auditor during this situation is what?
They are absolute monsters for the way they are personally attacking an individual. Now, if they are using that same aggressiveness to attack the issue and fixing the issue, no problem. But when you just go and attack an individual, a person, and do not respect the office that they hold, then you're a monster.
Former 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, who is now going to be a candidate in the Republican primary for County Commissioner coming up this May. You heard it here first, so make sure to give the credit to the right place. Thank you, Jason. Best of luck, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yep. See you, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There you go. Breaking news here on WGH Talk. Jason Schauber is running for County Commissioner on the Republican ticket this coming year. You heard it here first. Thank you, Jason, for coming here to do that. We've got a couple minutes left in this hour. I don't know if it's time for anybody to weigh in, but we've got the next hour to talk about it, and the next hour to talk about a lot of things we just talked about in the interview with Jason Schauber. But I know this will make a lot of people happy. I don't know if it will make people unhappy. I don't know if somebody jumping in a race as a candidate would make somebody unhappy. I don't know. We got a little more perspective on what went on there in regard to the situation in the city, but we certainly are going to be coming back here on WGH Talk in the next hour and continuing the conversation. Jason Schauber, though, as we close out this last hour here, first hour, on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Jason Schauber in the race for County Commissioner here in Marion, Ohio, in the year 2026. So it certainly is very interesting, to say the least, at this particular time in our lives. That's going to be a race, to be sure, and Jason says he's going to be more in it than certain races in the past as far as fundraising and things of that nature. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio, number one in Marion. We'll be back right after this.
Talking Place from Charlie.